prayed for the Brown family that we at Kingsway did Christmas for. If you could have saw their faces when the stuff was delivered, the food and the gifts, there's nothing, you can't put a price on it. And the good thing about that as well, not only did it help the family tremendously, help the kids, I mean, five kids, but they also knew that it came out of the love of Kingsway for them. So thank you for doing that. And then one last thing, the food that you guys are doing every week for Stonewall, the Snack Pack Ministry, again, it's something small, but you don't, the impact that it's making in the lives of not just those students, but their families. It is a tremendous impact. And so it is, and it, on Wednesday nights, their numbers, when we do our prayer, when we have our prayer list, and I can leave some back there, their numbers, the last four digits or three digits of their numbers, I can't give you the names, can't give the whole ID number, but the last three digits of their ID number is on that prayer list. So if you take a prayer list home, you can actually pray for that number, which you're praying for that student. So thank you for doing that. It is, again, a tremendous ministry. But this morning, we're going to, and before I get into that, we're going to talk about kingdom vision today. As we enter 2020, you know, we were here this time last year, and before we know it, the year gets away from us. And it's easy as you go into the year and you get busy with things, you become distracted by life. And so this morning, what I want us to look at is, where's your vision? And it's not just about having a vision, you know, like what I want to do 5 years from now, 10 years from now. It's not about that. It's about capturing a kingdom vision, a vision that God has for you. And that's where we're going to start at. And as it says up here, where your vision is, it's going to determine your direction. Where your focus is at, where you are kind of lasered in at, that's the direction you're going to be going in life. And so no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on in our lives, our focus, our vision should be on Christ and allow him to direct our steps. And that's because that's where we want to be at. We want to be where he wants us to be and be doing what he wants us to be doing. Of course, the ultimate thing is sharing the gospel, sharing our testimony, sharing the hope that we have within us. And so we're going to be talking about kingdom vision this morning. So if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to stand and take and turn over to Acts chapter 16 and verse number 9. Acts chapter 16 and verse number 9. Here's what it says. Acts chapter 16, verse number 9. It says, "A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.'" Will you join with me in a word of prayer? Our Father God, as we just come before you this morning, Father, we just, simply put, Lord, we want to capture the vision that you have for us. Lord, whether it's us as a church, churches, as individuals, as families. And so, Father, you speak to us here today. Lord, if there is someone here today that needs to know you, come into a relationship with you, Father, Father, we pray they do. Father, someone here today that says, you know, I want to rededicate my life to the cause of Christ, to the person of Christ. We ask that. Father, you have a vision for us here this morning. And you have a vision for each and every one of us here this morning and what you want to do in our lives this morning. May we capture that and simply do as you'd have us to do, follow you, Father, whatever that means. And Lord, we love you. We thank you again. It is about you. It's about the cross. It's about the shedding of your blood, because without you, there is nothing. And so we love you and we praise you. And it's in the name of Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. God has a kingdom vision for your life. It starts, do you believe it? You know, it's kind of like our salvation. You're not going to come to Christ until you believe. Whether you just believe that Christ raised from the dead, that he is the Savior, it starts with that. And the reason why this is so important, because if we don't believe this and we don't grasp and say, yes, I believe this, then we're just going to keep living life like we've been living life. We have to believe that in 2020, ever how long God gives us, God has a vision. He has a purpose for my life. And so this morning, we want to see and we want to capture exactly what Paul captured. And when I keep referring back to vision, I'm not talking about goals. I'm not talking about setting goals 5 years, 10 years. I'm not talking about that. It's more of getting into the fact that God's opening up opportunities for you to share the gospel, because that's what it's about. You know, as I'm going to say this, there is no silver bullet in programs. Programs are good. Everything's good. The only silver bullet that we have that makes a difference is what? The gospel. That's it. Programs are great. Ministries are great. They're wonderful, and we need to be doing them. But guess what? Out of that, the heart of it has got to be the gospel. It's got to be the gospel. And when we neglect the gospel, it's just, we're doing just good. And you can do good. God's called us to do good. But God, it's about the gospel. And so God's opening up opportunities for you, for your families, for Kingsway in this coming year that we can share the gospel. Who knows where God's going to lead us and God, what God's going to do, what God's going to do in your life this year. But it starts with a vision, believing that this year I'm not going to just live another year. I'm not just going to continue to do as I've been doing. God may allow you to do that, but also God may say, I've got something else in plan for you. It's about capturing that vision. And again, do we believe it? Every church, every believer should be looking for their kingdom vision. We should be seeking that. It's about, God, what do you want? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? And that is not just that we pray it and we kind of forget about it. Man, that is a prayer we ought to be praying all the time. God, what do you want me to do today? What is your vision? What is your opportunities for me today? We get up the next day, and it's a continual prayer. God, I want you to show me what it is that you want me to see. And we do that by prayer. We do that through His Word. We do that by listening and being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. That should be our desire. We should be looking for that, and we should be looking for those opportunities where God would have us to serve Him, where God would have us to go. And listen, even in this body, God has brought you to this body for a reason. Where does God want you to serve in this body? How does God want you to serve in this body? Every member of Kingsway Baptist Church ought to be involved in something, in some type of ministry. God's given you a gift for that. So what is it? What is God's vision for you, not just in the church, but what is His vision for you? What opportunities is He giving to you? A true kingdom vision doesn't come from a man, but it starts with God, it centers on God, and it moves. God uses that vision to move you, to move us, to connect with others for His purpose, whatever that purpose may be. It may be to encourage other people. It may be to encourage others. It may be to lead others to Christ. I don't know. That God knows His purpose. Sometimes He's going to connect you with somebody who just, they need a mentor. They need somebody to come alongside them and walk with them. They may be somebody God connects you with that is lost, and they need the gospel, and you are that person. You are that person, just like Paul was here in this text. You are that person to share the gospel with them. But as He gives you that vision, because again, it starts with God, it centers on God, but God's taking that vision and moving you, moving us to connect with others for His purpose. That's a true kingdom vision. It gets us out of the way. It just says, here I am, Lord. You've moved me and take me where you want me to go. Jesus had a clear kingdom vision. And I think it could be summed up in one verse. John 3:16. I think that was his vision. I don't think there's any arguing of that. That was his mission. That was his vision, to go to the cross. And how do I say that? Why do I say that? Because his kingdom vision determined his direction. Nothing distracted him. Nothing pulled him away from the cross. He went to the cross because that was the vision that God had for him, and therefore that was the vision that he had to carry it out. God had a purpose for him. God gave him a vision. That vision was the cross, and it determined his direction. So guess what? Your vision, your kingdom vision, will determine your direction. And if you don't have one, you're kind of, I don't want to say you're going to be wandering aimlessly, but where are you going? What is your target? What are you striving for? What are we striving for? Like in this text today, they needed help. That was the vision, right? They called out, they said, help us. Well, what did they need help with? Well, I think the first one, it could be simple, but Satan's strongholds. Satan had strongholds. They were people in darkness. They were blinded to the truth. And so they said, help us. And it wasn't about come over and just do some good things, but it was about coming over and share the gospel. We want to break these strongholds. So this Macedonian man, whoever it was, some might say it was the angel, whoever it was, saying, we need help. And guess what today? That Macedonian cry is still there. And it's still for us. They are crying out. They may not know it, but they're crying out, help us. That's why you have all these different things that's going on. You have people who are searching for, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but they're searching for hope. You know, whether it's self-help books or whatever it may be, or it's alcohol or it's drugs. They're searching for hope. They're searching for something that can help them. And it's nothing more than the power of Satan. And so guess what? The Macedonian cry is alive and well today. And they're saying, help us. And who are they saying it to? To you, to me, to us. And as I already said, man, they're in darkness. They're dead. They're dead. It's kind of like the vision that God gave Ezekiel. You remember the kind of the graveyard, the valley of dry bones. Deadness. And we go out there for people who are lost, they're dead. There's no way else to say it. They're not alive. They're as dead as dead can be. And we carry the life-giving, life-changing message. They need help. They're crying out, help us. We're dead. We want life. And we carry that message. In other words, they need the gospel. They needed the gospel. They needed the gospel. And God sent Paul a kingdom vision, letting him know where to go. Well, with that said, it's kind of funny in a way. Because if you go back and you look at this, he says here, and I'm going to jump back up to maybe verse 6. It says, they passed through Pelagian and Galilean region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak to the word in Asia. And after they came to Malaysia, they were trying to go into Bethlehem, but the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. Now, let me just say that. Paul didn't know where he was going. And that's okay. Okay, that's okay. Paul didn't know exactly where he's going. He said, well, we need to go here. Well, we can't go here. Well, we need to go here. We can't go here. It's okay sometimes if you don't know where you're going, but what is important is why you are going. Paul didn't know where he was going, but he knew why he was going, and that is to take the gospel. My dear friends, there's going to be times you don't know where you're going. This is all I know to do. That's okay. Keep doing all that you know to do, as long as why you are going, why you're doing what you're doing, and that is to take the gospel to those who are in need of the gospel. And that was Paul. It wasn't about Paul trying to edify himself. It wasn't about Paul building himself up. He says, man, we're going to go here because they need the gospel. We need to go here because we need the gospel. And God stopped him because God had a vision for him where he needed to go. And don't you believe that today? That if we just keep doing what we know, that I mean, this may be what God wants me to do. I've just got to believe. I just got to believe if our why is big enough and our why is the gospel, God will stop you. God will say to you, okay, you've been doing this, now it's time for a change. This is where I want you to go now. It's okay. We got to keep our why. And that's the gospel. Paul, if you will, was driven by a sense of passion and urgency that God had put in his heart, that every person on the face of the earth needed the gospel. We should have that same passion, a belief that every person on the face of the earth needs the gospel. And it starts here. Every person in Bristol needs the gospel. And it's not about saying, well, we'll let the other church do it. They're over there in that community or that community. It's not about that. It's not about competing with other churches. It's about just taking the gospel to those who need it. Every person in Bristol and beyond needs the gospel. And we should look at ourselves as individuals and as a church and say, that's our Macedonian cry. And do it. And do it. Paul, or may our compass for life be the heart of God, believing that the will of God, just like with Paul, he will get us where he wants us at the right time and at the right place. All we got to do is keep our why, the gospel. And as long as we trust him and let him guide our steps, he'll get us to that person who's in need, whoever that may be. It could be, as I shared this morning in Sunday school, it could be the person at the grocery store. You could get an email. God will get you where you need to be at the right time, at the right place, for the right person, if we are being led by God, if we have a kingdom vision. But when we get on ourselves or we get caught up in the world, we lose that vision. We get distracted. And that's not where God wants us. God wants us, just like he did with Paul, like he's done with so many others, just focus on me. I'll get you where you need to be. I'll put you in contact with whom I want you to be in contact with. You just got to follow him and let the Holy Spirit lead us. He'll get us there. D.L. Moody. I heard this illustration from Max Lucado a little time back, and it just kind of stuck with me. But Max Lucado tells the story of D.L. Moody. And if you don't know who D.L. Moody was, very popular evangelist from Chicago. He had been preaching and he had decided it's time to take a vacation. And so that's what he does. He says, I'm going to go to London. I'm going to go to London, England, take a vacation, just kind of get away for a while. And that's what he does. He gets over into London. He's there a little bit of time and a pastor there recognizes him. And so he comes up to D.L. Moody and says, D.L. Moody, would you please come to our church this Sunday and just preach? And of course, D.L. Moody said, yes. And so he goes and he preaches that Sunday morning at the church. And D.L. Moody puts it this way, that church was dead. I mean, it was absolutely dead. There was no life in it whatsoever. And the only thing that he regretted more than preaching that morning was he agreed to come back that night and preach. Yeah, so he did. You know, he goes back that night and he gets up there and he starts preaching again. I mean, it's just absolutely dead. And about halfway through the message, something happened. People started to perk up. It came time for the invitation. About half the church stood up. And this was a church that was dead. So D.L. Moody says, what's going on? And he tells everybody to sit down. So they sit down. He explains to them, do you know what I'm talking about? And he goes into detail. Do you really understand what I'm talking about? And if you want to give your life to Christ, would you please stand? He said about half the church stood up again. He says, okay, we're going to be over, the pastor and him's going to be over in this room. And if you want to be, if you want to know more about this Christ and the message of salvation, you come over there. The room was packed. And so D.L. Moody tells the pastor, says, you need to have another service tomorrow on Monday. And of course, the pastor agrees to it. So D.L. Moody, next morning, gets up, gets on a train, heads to Ireland, and there is a message waiting for him when he gets there. The pastor of that church says, please come back. Revival has broken out. We need you. D.L. Moody gets on the train. Guess what? Heads back to the church. Preaches 10 straight nights. Over 400 people come to Christ. So, you know, the Moody, because again, this church was dead. The pastor is absolutely confused. He's going up to Moody, says, I don't know what in the world happened. This church was dead. All of a sudden, now this is taking place. I don't know what's happening. And so this lady comes up to D.L. Moody and the pastor and says, let me take you somewhere. So she takes them to this house, to this lady, 80-year-old lady who is unable to get out anymore. And she introduces them, says, this is D.L. Moody. And so this is what she says. She says, 2 years ago, I came across one of your sermons and read it. And I immediately started praying, God, send Moody to our church. Well, that Sunday afternoon, her sister and brother-in-law came home. And she said, well, how was church today? And they said, oh, it was fine. They said, we had this guest speaker today. Really? Who was it? D.L. Moody. She puts down her tray of food. She says, leave me alone. I've got to go start praying. Guys, she was the Macedonian cry. God heard her cry. D.L. Moody thought he was going on vacation. But God had a different vision for him to preach the gospel. And what I love about it is the fact that when D.L. Moody was in London on vacation and the pastor came up and said, would you please come preach? You know what? I'm not going to pass up an opportunity to preach the gospel. I'm on vacation. That's okay. I'm going to preach the gospel. Guys, listen. Pray. Pray. Ask God to reveal to you your kingdom vision. Ask God to show you where he wants you. Ask God to show you what he wants you to be doing, where he wants you to go. You may be going on vacation, but God may have a different vision for you. You may be going to work tomorrow, but God may have a different vision for you. We may just be one prayer away. Or let me say this, there may be somebody who's just one prayer away where you are the answer to their prayer. Because God has a different vision for you. God hears and sees their Macedonian cry. And you are the answer. Just like D.L. Moody was. Kingdom vision. Notice too, what I love about this passage is the fact that it happens to us, right? Because we plan these events and we do these things, and sometimes, and I've been there, you get discouraged. You get discouraged when things don't go according to plan. You know, you don't have as many people as you like, or what, it just doesn't work out the way you think it ought to work out. What I love about this passage right here is you don't see that with Paul. Paul didn't get discouraged. Paul didn't get frustrated. God, why won't you let me go in there? Well, this ain't working. I'm going to give up and go back. You know, let's just call it quits. Let's not do this again. You know, it's just not working out. We get so discouraged so easy, where it simply may be God may be simply saying no to this because this is what I want you to do. It is time to stop this so you can do this. What we've got to be careful of is that we're not doing so much so much we just keep doing and doing and doing. Maybe, just maybe, God is saying, it's time to stop this so you can do this. Because this is what I want you to do. I don't know. But we won't know if we're not praying and asking for God's vision for us. As a church, as churches, as individuals, as families, you can be doing good things, but God very well may say, it is time to stop. I want you to stop this because this is what I want you to do. This is where I want you to go. And we miss it. Kingdom vision. He didn't get discouraged because Paul simply wanted to do what God wanted him to do. And we can't get discouraged. And don't get discouraged. Just say, Lord, show me. And if you want me to keep doing this, so be it. I just want to do and go where you want me. And that's all Paul cared about. Taking the gospel where God wanted him to take the gospel. Proceed. I like what he says here in this passage. He says he gets to cry, right? In verse 10 it says, and when he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia. Hey guys, we've got plenty of time. We'll get there next week. We'll get there next month. No, they got the vision and immediately they started making preparations to proceed where God showed them to go. And I've said this before. I love, absolutely love Nehemiah. You know, Nehemiah got a kingdom vision of what God wanted him to do and where God wanted him to go. Now, mind you, he couldn't just pick up his suitcase and say, I'm heading out. I mean, he could not do that. But what he did do in the time from where he got that vision to the time the king said, okay, you can go, what was he doing? He was making preparations to go so that when God released him, when God said it's time to go, he was ready to go. My dear friend, if we don't have a kingdom vision, you know what we're not doing? We're not making preparations to go. We're not. It's kind of like, and I'm not trying to be critical, but it's kind of like we're just flying by the seat of our pants. You know? We're kind of putting it all together. Man, if we get a kingdom vision for where God wants us to go and what God wants us to do, we start making preparations. And man, the first person I thought of was Ken Sauls. When he went to Montana last year and God gave him a vision for what? That basketball court. And what did he do? Did he come back and say, well, I got plenty of time. I'll wait till next year. No, he started making preparations to get it done because God gave him a vision. My dear friends, if he can do it to Ken, if he can do it to Paul, he can do it to you and to me and to us. And we need to make preparations. But we won't make those preparations if we're not asking God for that vision, for those opportunities. Where do you want me to go, Lord? What do you want me to do? Well, we know the gospel. We know the gospel. But maybe it's a basketball court. Maybe it's something else. I don't know. Maybe it's disaster relief. Whatever it may be. But wherever God sends you, it is to take the gospel first and foremost. And all the other stuff God will use. But it's an opportunity to share the gospel. We've got to make preparations, and we won't do it until we have that vision. And we're not going to do it until, and again, God will show us. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. God may not show you the whole thing. He may not show, okay, this is what's going to happen in January. This is what's going to happen in December. He may not show that, but he will show you the next step. He will show you. And when he shows you that next step, what do? You prepare for where he's going to send you. Kingdom vision. And then this, proclaim. That's it. Wherever he sends you, whatever he's got you doing, that is the heart of it. Proclaim the gospel. Because that is the only thing that changes lives. That, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is where you find life and you find freedom. It is the gospel. Everything else, great. Keep doing it. But the gospel has got to be the heart of it. And that's what Paul did. Because what did it say? Okay, he says in verse 10, he says, when he had the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia. what? Concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. He didn't say, okay, Lord, now when we get there, what do you want us to do? No, that was a foregone conclusion. That's where you're sending us, God, because that's where you want the gospel preached. And so wherever God sends us, whoever God puts us in contact with, let us share the gospel. And share it however you can share it. I know it's
not about,
unless you're comfortable with that, but you can share the gospel in a letter, a postcard. There's multiple ways of sharing the gospel. Share the gospel. God doesn't care how you share the gospel, just share the gospel. Because somebody could read a postcard with the gospel on it, and God could use that postcard to lead them to a relationship with Him. He can. He's done it. I know He's done it. Maybe God's impressed upon you to write a letter to somebody. Do it. Share the gospel. And that's what Paul did. Story of Will. Will, early on in his life, wandered around saying, okay, what? I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. Early 20, he started working in a shoe shop, got married. Came to Christ at the age of 18. He loved to read. So he read books, kept reading books. He, of course, read the Bible, just reading and reading. After he got married, being in the shoe store, he had this sense that God wanted him to do something more. He hadn't pinpointed yet, but he knew there was something more that God wanted him to do. So you know why? He felt called to preach. He felt like, this is what God wants me to do. I'm going to be a preacher. And guess what? That didn't work out. He felt like God may, well, okay, Lord, maybe you just want me to be a teacher of the gospel. Maybe you want me to be a teacher of the word. Just didn't work out. So he kind of said, okay, I don't know what to do. He goes back, he goes back to his own shoe business, and that's kind of where he's at. He's working there. Keeps reading. He learns, it's like 7 different languages. You know, Italian, French, Greek, Hebrew, Dutch. Like 7 different languages he learns. He's absorbing, and of course, reading God's word all the time. In the shoe store, doing his business, he's married. He's at the age of 32. And as he's reading, he comes across this book by James Cook, who was a navigator and explorer. And as he's reading that book, God just impresses upon him the fact, you know what? There's a vast number of people who yet have heard the gospel. Vast number of people who's yet to hear the gospel. And he starts to think and says, you know, if that's the case, and I know what I know about the gospel, I know what I know about Christ and the life-giving freedom that he gives, the life-changing impact that he has, unless a believer tells them, they're not going to hear. So he says, God, this is my vision. That was his vision. And so at the age of 32, takes him and his family, he takes the shoe business, he puts it aside, he takes his scientific stuff that he enjoyed doing, he puts it aside, he kind of puts everything else aside, and his kingdom vision, he takes him and his family to India. And in India, as he's there, he's sharing the gospel, he's the resources, and because of his knowing the language, he's able to translate over 40 languages of the Bible. Now, if you don't know who that is, that's William Carey. I mean, he's what they say the father of missionaries. From the age of 32 until he died, I believe at the age of 72, somewhere in his 70s, he lived out his kingdom vision with passion and purpose in India, sharing the gospel and using the gifts and abilities that God had given him to share the gospel and to translate books of the Bible into 40 different languages. My dear friend, like with William Carey, Let us also, our compass, our heart's compass, believe that everybody must hear the gospel. And not, it's going to be somebody else. It's going to be me. What's your kingdom vision? If somebody was to ask you this morning, what is your kingdom vision? What vision has God given you? What opportunities are you asking for God to give? What would you say? Your vision will determine your direction. For William Carey, his kingdom vision was India. And guess what? That's where he went. To India to share the gospel. Where's God going to lead you? Who's home? What family? What country? Maybe Belize? I mean, that's what they did. God gave them a vision for the people of Belize. And I remember, you put your house up for sale and you take off and go. God just might do that with you. He could. But it also may be the fact that there's somebody on East Mary Street that he wants you to witness to that needs you. Ask God for your Macedonian vision, your kingdom vision. And why? There's people who need it. There's people hurting today. There's people who are crying out for help. And you, me, us, just might be the answer to their prayer. As Matthew says, the harvest is ready. The harvest is full. Pray to send out laborers. Pray. The harvest is there, guys. He's just waiting for somebody to go. Will you go? This morning, what is your kingdom vision? Do you have one? If you don't, that's okay. Because you can come to this altar this morning and say, Lord, wherever you send me, I want to go. Whatever you want to do with my life, you do it. Direct my steps. You know what I believe? God will do it. He'll do it. And I'm going to warn you, okay? Because he very well may say, I want you to sell your house and go to the Philippines. He could. Because I didn't really touch on it, but when he got the vision, Paul was ready to go. And if God gives you a vision that may be Belize or wherever it may be ready to go. I don't know if God will give it to you if you're not ready. But he will give it to you if you are ready. This morning, are you ready for a kingdom vision in 2020? What does God want to do with you? What does God want to do with us in 2020? The lives that want to be touched. As we give the invitation, there's going to be, Logan's going to come, she's going to play and sing. Listen, you can, the word's not going to be up here. If you know the song, you can sing it. There's going to be something else up here. It's a prayer for 2020. I want you to read that prayer. But this morning, if you don't have a kingdom vision, here's what I'm asking. I'm asking you to cry out to God for one. And I believe with all of my heart, God will give it. May not be today, but he'll give it. Do you want one? Do you want one? Our Father God, as we just come before you this morning, Father, history is full, and we just touched on two, whether it was D.L. Moody, whether it was William Carey, whether it was Ken Sauls, it was Terry and Samantha. There's so many, Father, that you gave a kingdom vision to. And Father, there's no doubt some here today that have a kingdom vision. This is what you're doing with their life, Father, and it's maybe just one step, but you're giving it. But there also, I believe, Father, maybe some here today that don't have one. They don't have one. They don't have a vision for what you want to do, where you want them to go. And so, Father, I pray two things. One, Lord, if there's someone here that is lost, the kingdom vision you're giving them is Christ Jesus on the cross. The life-giving freedom that comes in Christ, you're crying out to them and say, I want you. Trust in me and you will be saved. And so, Father, there's someone here today. That's where it starts at. It starts with their salvation. And may they have, oh, Father, may they not care about who's sitting there to them, what people may think. May they have the courage to say, okay, Lord, this is my vision. You are my vision. I'm coming to you. And may they just give their life to you. But Lord, you know what you want to do today. You have a vision. May we just see it. May we catch that vision that you have for us. It's in the name of Christ Jesus we pray and ask these things. Amen.